James chapter 1 and verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now skip on down to verse number 12. I'll read verse 12 and you read verse 13 with me. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then read verse 15 with me. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, as we come tonight, please help me with my mind, control my mind. I pray that, Father, you would help us as we submit to your word. And please, open our eyes and show us what you've provided for us as your people. We love you and we need you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'll start at verse number, we're going to look at verse number 1 through 3, but I want to start at verse number 12, kind of the end of it, and we'll work our way back. God says whenever sin, when you look at verse number 15, it says, Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. So God says whenever sin has its way in your life or in my life, something is going to die. I didn't make that up. That's right there. Sin, when it's finished, something dies when we make the wrong choice. Before death is pain, sorrow, grief, and heartache. And we're taught also, when we just take and use the example of those who have passed amongst us, when we experience the loss, I don't care if it was last week or last year or 10 years ago, when we think of that death, there's still the loss, there's still the heartache and the pain that goes with it. Sin causes death. Rebellion causes death. Deuteronomy 1:26 says, notwithstanding you would not go up but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 1:42 says, and the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up into the hill. And if you remember the story of Ai, when they went up there, God said, you know, this is after they come out of the land of Egypt, and when they go up there, God said, I told you not to go, but they rebelled, and guess what? People died. People lost their lives. I'll say it again, sin causes something to die. When you rebel, it always causes defeat somewhere in your Christian life. In whatever part of your life you sin, it causes death in that area. You say, look, you can divide life up into relationships, family, entertainment, job. Wherever you insert rebellion, that area suffers death. Whatever relationship it touches. Could you take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 6? We're going to come back to James and we'll spend most of our time there. However, I want you to look at Romans chapter 6. Did you know our choices determine who our master is? You say, well, I'm saved and my master is the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope so. But it is important to get a hold of the terminology here in Romans 6. And watch this, Romans chapter 6, and look at verse number, I'm going to start at verse 11. Watch this, Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It'd be nice. I know tonight we're looking at resisting and temptation and getting victory over temptation. It'd be nice when you're tempted if you would stop and reckon or settle it in your mind you are dead to sin. When you're tempted, it helps if you come to that point and you say, I'm dead. I don't have to do this. I'm dead to sin. In other words, I'm not being forced. I realize that this sin is a choice of mine, but I'm reckoning to be dead indeed unto sin. Now look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as, watch this, instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So when you choose to sin, you become an instrument of unrighteousness. Now that should stir your heart as a Christian, because I'm a child of God and I belong to God, and I don't want God's property to be used as an instrument of sin in whatever area you're being tempted in. Keep on reading, look at instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Watch this. Look at verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You are either. I think it's just helpful. God's trying to give us a wonderful way to think here and feeding us. But he's saying you're either the servant of God or you're the servant of sin. You have to think that way. And I don't want to be a servant of sin used against God. That's where the disappointment comes in. That's where the tears come in. That's where the regret comes in when I make the wrong choices. I don't care whether it's with my actions or my mouth or all of that. That's verse 16. Look down at verse number 22. But now being made free from sin, it's talking about being saved, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end thereof everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. You're either going to serve God or you are going to serve sin. Now, you can take your Bible and go back to James, and let me give you this while you go back to James chapter 1. The world proves itself foolish when they mock at sin and mock at the Bible and mock at standards and mock at what's right. Proverbs 14:7 says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. That's Proverbs 14:7. It's amazing, but it's also sad and disturbing to watch someone glory in the very thing that is destroying them, while at the same time, they push away the only one who can help them with all of this pain and suffering. The headlines in the newspapers are filled with stories of pain and the results of sin. Stabbings, shootings, kidnappings, robbery, fornication, hatred, betrayals, lies. It goes on, and all of these things are sin according to the God of our Bible, but they are not called sin by the evolutionists, by the psychologists, and by the communists. They foolishly say, we don't want God, and at the same time they say, we don't like the violence and the pain and the suffering. They fight against the only one who can heal and cure sin. The pain is the result of sin, and the sin is the result of disobeying God. God has told us that we don't have to be a part of that vicious circle that never ends. Aren't you glad? God said, we have a better way to live. When you look at our text at verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. You know, even when you start looking at James chapter 1, by the time you get to verse 2, you're already checked. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. When was the last time you obeyed verse 2? Honestly, I don't know that I ever have. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. When was the last time you came to temptation? I'm at a crossroads. I can either sin or do right, or do what I've been told? And when was the last time you were being faced with a temptation and you said, oh, I'm being tempted. Isn't this wonderful? Nobody does that. But that's what verse 2 says. My brethren, count it all joy when you come to a crossroads and a choice has to be made. Because when you make the right choice, you're made stronger. You're made stronger. The trial of your faith worketh patience. Have you ever looked? Just keep your Bible open. Grab that songbook right in front of you and go to 305 real quick. Can I show you something? Somebody got a hold of this. Somebody got a hold of it and wrote a song about it. Go to Psalm 305. I was almost going to ask to sing this tonight, but I had mercy. 305. Watch this. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Watch this. Each victory will help you some other to win. The more you say no to sin, the stronger you get. That's why it's saying in James, rejoice, because if you'll just make the right choice and reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, by you saying no to the temptation, you're going to be made stronger spiritually. Each victory will help you some other to win. Somebody got a hold of this, and I love this, and wrote a song. This isn't Bible, but I do like the words of this song. Fight manfully onward. Do the hard thing. Resist. Deny yourself. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Look, I'm just going to, just since we got it open, just let me read verse 2. Shun evil companions, bad language, disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. And look at verse 3. To him that overcometh, watch this, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. If you don't know the song, Yield Not to Temptation, it's one you ought to learn. It's good. It's good to sing. It's got good doctrine in it, and it's pulled from James 1. Now, here we are in James, and watch this. Look at verse number, you can shut that and put that songbook up there. Look at verse number 13. Ready? Let no man say, I'm at James 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But look at verse 14, but every man is tempted. First thing I'm going to draw attention to tonight, I'll give you a couple of points, but every one of us is going to be tempted to sin. Every one of us. There is no such thing. There's not one of us who is not given the opportunity to do that which displeases God every day. Not a week. Every day we're tempted. Every one of us is tempted to sin daily. Your salvation did not change this. You surrendering to God to serve the Lord did not change the fact that you are going to be tempted every day. And there is no way to live and breathe without being tempted. God tells us two things here. First of all, and God tells us two things concerning His part of temptation. Which is verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. I'd like to point out, first of all, God will never be the source of temptation to us. Never. Never. God would never offer you an opportunity to disobey His word. You can do it with a seared conscience. You can do it with a false peace. And even blame it on God if you want. But God has never been the source of temptation to sin. You can even have so-called Christian crowd saying, go ahead, we're Christians, we do it. But if it is an offer to sin, it never came from God. God plainly says that. God never tempts us to do wrong. Next. Look at James chapter 1, and now look at verse number 5. Let me draw you the second thing that God says is His part. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says, if you don't know how to resist, if you don't know how to say no, ask me, and I'll give you everything you need to have victory over the sin. God says, I'll give to you liberally. Now, in context, this is talking about when you're tempted and you are struggling. Didn't the song, somebody got a hold of this? Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen. Ask the Savior to help you. God says, if you will ask me, if any of you is struggling, ask me and I'll give you liberally. I'll give you all that you need to gain victory over that sin. That's what it says. That's what it says here. Watch this. Verse number 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if you don't know how to keep from falling, if you have a hard time saying no, then ask God. Now, with that in mind, look at James 1:17. We didn't read this, but look down at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm so glad God won't treat any one of us differently. There's no variableness. God isn't in the mood one day to help us and then the next day isn't in the mood to help us. God is faithful to always give us the help that we need when we come to Him and ask His help. Now, here's what Jesus did not say in this passage. He did not say, go ask your friends. I understand if you want to go to somebody, the Bible does speak of accountability, and when you're struggling, you can say, would you pray for me in my weakness? And you don't do that with everybody. You do that with people you trust. Amen. You don't announce your weaknesses to the church, but it's wonderful to have someone that loves you enough that won't hold your weaknesses against you and says that you can go to in prayer and say, I'm really struggling. Could you pray for me? Yes, I will. I'm getting so tired of disappointing the Lord, and I have failed in this, and I've got to face it again tomorrow at work, and could you pray for me that God helps me? I understand that. But you can't ask. God says here, don't ask your friends on how to get victory because they're also struggling with their own sin. There's only one who's overcome every sin and defeated every sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So God says, when you struggle, come to me, ask me, and I'll give you what you need. Let me just read to you Hebrews 4:14. God says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Aren't we glad? There is no temptation that we've ever faced that Jesus didn't face. And He overcame all of it. You mean even that? Yeah, but was He tempted this way? Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted with every temptation you'll ever face. And He successfully went through it, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you want to know how to do something successfully, go to the experts. Don't ask someone for help who struggles like you do. And if I have victory available from an omnipotent God, then I have this question tonight. So, Pastor, you're saying, and I see it in the Bible, when I'm tempted and I come to that crossroads, I'm supposed to ask God, dear God, help me, please, to have victory in this area. Help me to do the right thing. Then how come I sin? If God gives liberally and every good gift comes from above, and God gives me everything I need to have victory over sin, then why do I sin? Watch this. Look at James 1. Look back at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth goes back and forth, never settles, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's how come when you read the book of Psalms, he says, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. It's fixed. It's in place. It's buried. I'm not moving. Here, it's wavering. It's going back and forth, just like waves. Wave come in, waves go out. Waves come in, waves go out. And there's no settling place. And when the heart isn't fixed, then listen closely. When you can't decide where you want to be, let me rephrase that. When I come to God and ask for victory, there's a part of me that wants to commit that sin. That's wavering. That's wavering. If God gives me everything I need to have victory over the sin, then why do I sin? Because there's a part of me that wants to sin. You see, we pray, Lord, help me not to sin because I really want to. We don't get those prayers answered because we don't mean them. That's how come it says, let not, verse 7, James 1:7, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. When you are not settled, when you are not, when you're wavering, and you're saying, and you're not longing for the holiness, when you're not longing to displease the Lord, God says, you have to want it. I'll give it to you if you want it. But God says, if you're wavering and not settled, you won't receive any help. Because I see what you want. I see what you want. You see, we're asking God to help us not sin when we want to sin. The problem is this wretched man that I am, my sin nature. James 1:14 says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So the devil brings you an offer of something you have showed him you like. What? Did you know the devil? The devil can't read your mind. He can put thoughts in your mind. He can set fiery darts of doubt. But he can't read your mind. So what does he do? He's got his imps and he's got quite a workforce. He's pretty accomplished and he takes notes on what you, on your weaknesses. Has to look at that. And you teach him your weaknesses by what you give into. Then he later on uses your weaknesses against you. Does that make sense? It says here, your own lust is your own, that's your weakness, that's your temptation, that's what you struggle with, that's what I would struggle with. If you don't take your weakness to the Lord, then the devil uses it against you. That's why we confess our sins. We're telling God, I'm weak in this area. I don't care if it's money, or if it's anger, or if it's lust, or whatever it is. We confess our sins because we're being reminded, dear God, I struggle in this area, and I struggle in this area, and I struggle in this area. Confession of sin is very important. Your sins are already forgiven you, right? Right? Your sins were forgiven at Calvary. However, then why do we confess our sins? Because it reminds us where we're struggling and where we need help at. It reminds us. I'll say it one more time. If you don't take your weaknesses to the Lord, that's when we confess our sins, then the devil uses your weaknesses against you. Jesus wants to interfere with your weakness and temptation, so you have victory over the things you have that have caused you tears and disappointed the Savior. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. We'll come back once again to James 1, but go to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. If this verse isn't marked in your Bible, it ought to be. It ought to be a verse. I will tell you this. When it comes to 1 Corinthians 10, 13, my pastor showed me this verse, and he said, you ought to memorize this verse. Up until this point, Romans 12, 1 and 2 was some of the hardest verses that I had memorized. But I'm not sure there's a harder verse to memorize than 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It's just the wording of it. It's good. It's the Word of God. It's just the way it should be. But I struggled with 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I remember I worked on it twice as much as I worked on all the other verses to memorize. Okay? But 1 Corinthians 10:13, ready? Here we go. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I just can't quit smoking. Did you know many have? I didn't say it was easy. Did you know many have? Well, I just can't quit cussing. Did you know many have? I just can't quit doing drugs. Did you know many have? I just can't get over my fear of telling others about the Lord. Did you know many have? Oh, I just can't quit lying. Did you know many have? Well, I just can't love my husband. Did you know many have? I just can't love my wife. Many have. I just can't raise my kids right. Did you know many have? Many have. You are not the first. It helps to realize when it comes to being tempted, you are not the first person to struggle with what you're struggling with. Thousands upon thousands have found victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But now I'm going to show you something. Ready? We were reading, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Isn't that great? That's great, and then it's not great. Because if God's faithful, that means I'm not. He's always been there. He's always done right. He's never failed me. I have failed Him. See, this is going somewhere. Watch this. As you read it, you see, it's great that God's faithful, but then when you read, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? That's wonderful. So God never allows a temptation to come your way that you cannot have victory over. God will never, Satan comes to him and says, why don't you kill this child? Take his wife. Cause him to lose his job. Let me have at him. And God says, he can't handle that. Now he can, you understand? Satan comes and he says, let me do this to him. Let me do this to him. Let me do this to him. And God is the way station to determine what the bridge can hold. Right? Right? And God says, no, you may not do that. Yes, you may allow that. But God knows our limit, and God will never let you be tempted above that you are able. That's good to a point. Listen closely. But that's not good, because that means every time I sinned, it's because I wanted to. So you read the verse with victory, and it's like, yay, look, God's for, oh, crud. Man, am I a sinner. Man, have I blown it. Man, am I dark. And getting saved didn't fix it. It just made victory possible. Do you understand? Salvation doesn't mean you get instant victory over sin. You get victory over what you let God help you with. But you don't get instant victory over anything until you give God the control and the reins. Here, you see, as I read 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above the ear able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Every time I sinned, I had a way out. You see, now I got to own the sin. And that's the hardest part about the verse. If you take it full circle, now I got to own what I did. Because when I was tempted, it wasn't more than I could handle. And God gave me a way out. And I didn't take it. And that makes my sin dark to me. Now I can't blame anybody. Well, my circumstances, you just got to know my past. And you just got to know it's own it. You did it. Nobody made you do it. Nobody pushed you, coerced you. You chose it. And until you own it, you don't make progress in the Christian life. And I tell you what, that's why it's a great verse of victory. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of conviction in this verse. My face was ripped off in preparing this sermon. And it helped me bunches. Do you understand? Bunches. God says, I'm faithful. You can't blame your circumstances or anything. With every temptation, God makes an escape, a way out. And every time sin is advertised and offered to you, at the same time, God is also making an escape. You have to ignore the Holy Spirit and His pleadings for you to sin as a Christian. Now, if you'll turn the rock music up and the rap music and the country music up loud enough, then you might not hear the Holy Spirit pleading with you. If you consider ungodly advice from the world, then you may not hear the Holy Spirit pleading with you. If you've seared your conscience over and over and over again, then you may not hear the Holy Spirit pleading with you. But when you don't take the escape, there is not another escape. Or have you noticed when we're tempted, you and me? This helps me. Have you noticed when you're tempted, the escape and the temptation is offered you, and if you go for the temptation, you can't come back after you sin and take the escape. You either take the escape now, or you sin and you deal with the consequences of your sin. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. You see, people want to sow their wild oats and then have their fun and then pray for a bad harvest. But you reap what you sow. Galatians 6, 7-8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There is no reverse in life, and there is no start over. There's no begin again. Life doesn't have a reset button. There is no direction but forward. God forgives, but God won't rewrite history. God can do anything. There's some things God won't do, and that's rewrite history. This is why you need to take the escape when it's offered you, because you can't go back after you sin. After you sin. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 12? We got just two more places to go tonight. I'm watching the clock. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So if I'll ask God, He says, anytime you're tempted, I'll give you a way out. I'll give you everything you need to get victory over that sin. Even that. It's very helpful. It's very helpful to understand as a child of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read quickly verses 1 through 4. Ready? Watch this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Watch this, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I can truly say this. I've been spit on one time as a Christian. I was handing out tracts. And I'll never forget it. I'd never been spit on before. It's nasty. It's gross. But you realize that night when Jesus was tempted, He was spit on many times. He was spit on many times. And then they were walking up to Him and hitting Him, saying, now tell us who hit you. I can truly say this, I've been spit on one time in my life because I was handing out gospel tracts. I've never been hit. I've never suffered like the Lord did. I've never been mistreated. Well, look at verse number 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Me fighting against sin has never cost me one of my children. It's never cost me my wife. It's never cost me. I have not resisted unto blood yet. Praise God. God knows what I can handle. God knows that. Ready? You see, it's up to you, when I look at Hebrews chapter 12, it's up to you and me to lay aside the weights that's what slows us down. The weights. Those are things that don't bring glory to the Lord Jesus. And then there's besetting sins, the things that we're prone to. What we're most prone to do. Pick a struggle in your life and work at limiting it. Let me pick smoking. If you smoke 3 packs a day, why don't you shoot for 2 packs a day instead of saying, I can't quit? Amen? Make some progress. Don't say, well, I can't ever get victory in that area. I can't. At least make some progress. If you would lessen it, if you'd work at sinning less, instead, okay, you may not be able to get absolute victory over it. But could you work at doing it less? That way you could sin less. You see, instead of saying, I can't get victory, realize you're always going to have weeds to pull. And then let God grow you little by little. One more place we're going to turn tonight. Look at Exodus 23, 29. Genesis, Exodus 23, 29. Watch this. Exodus 23, 29. I realize that this sermon has some conviction in it, but to me it's a tremendous help for a child of God. And nobody, you know, they always say the worst part about being an alcoholic is owning the fact that they're an alcoholic. They never see that they have a problem. Worst part about a drug addict is you got to convince them that they've got a problem. When you read your Bible, God shows you, you have a problem, it's your fault, and I can help you with that problem. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Watch this. It says here in Exodus, I wish you'd mark this verse and go back and look at it. Ready? Verse 29, Exodus 23, 29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. I have that verse marked in my Bible. Because all of us wish how come I have to struggle with that? How come I just can't? How come God just can't clean me all up and get instant victory for the rest? Look, if you didn't get rewards for it, then you might as well just get in the tube after you get saved and then, boom, you know, go on to heaven. No, there's struggles down here that we go through after we get saved. And God says, I'm not going to clean you up all at once. I'm going to change you little by little. Well, I just want to fix everything in my life. You're going to soon find out everybody is like you. And God won't let it happen. God says, you're not supposed to work it your whole life. You pick an area you struggle in. And you just focus on that area so that God can grow you little by little. If you focus on the whole pile of garbage, you're going to get depressed. I'm telling you, you can't do that. Well, I need to fix this and this and this and this and this. God says, pick one thing. Focus on one thing. I'm so glad God didn't deal with me. Clean up your whole life. Really? That's all. Here, just put me in the dumpster. I need to just be shipped out with the whole mess. God dealt with me in this area. And my alcohol problem was for about 6 months after I got saved. God had other things He was dealing with me. God says, now change this. But God, I got... Just focus on this. And God says, I love Exodus 23, 20, verse 30. Little by little, I'll drive them out. We never become sinless, but you get victory little by little. And it would help if you had goals that said something like, rather than just, oh, I can't live the Christian life, I can't do it. No. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Getting victory over temptation. God does have a recipe for it. Let's pray. Father, please use this tonight. I wish.